Morning to you all. It's so great that we can be together this morning. We're thankful that we have this opportunity to be here and appreciate the ones who have already taken part in this service, that we can be here and worship together. I hope that you have your Bible with you. If you do, go ahead and be taking that out and making your way to Acts chapter 18. That's where we're going to begin this morning. Acts chapter 18. We're going to turn to seven passages this morning. If you turn to Acts chapter 18 and make your way there, three of those passages are going to be on that first page that you turn to. So we should have a pretty easy morning making our way through our New Testament. I hope that you have your Bible and you can join along with me as we study together. We're going to do things a little different this morning. This morning we're going to be talking about ordinary Christians. We're going to talk about being ordinary as we serve Christ. And sometimes you may feel ordinary. You know, sometimes in our life, we go to work and there are people who are just always doing great things at work. They're always exceeding and they're always getting the accolades for all the work that they do. And sometimes that may make us feel like we're kind of left behind. Maybe at school, you have other students there with you that don't seem to have to study as hard as you do. Maybe they don't have to work as hard as you do to get good grades. And they go to the front of the class and you feel left behind because you have to study harder than other people. Or maybe you play sports and there's some athlete on your team that just has natural abilities. Maybe they play the position that you won't play. Maybe they take playing time away from you. And sometimes these things in our life happen and it makes us feel less about ourselves. It makes us feel ordinary. Like we're not as good as others. That doesn't just happen in our personal lives. It can absolutely happen in our spiritual lives. It can happen here at church. You know, there's people who have abilities that other people don't have. Everyone can't stand up and lead the singing and also do the Bible reading in the same morning. Some people have abilities to stand up and teach a class, to take active parts in worship. And maybe we don't do that. Maybe we don't feel like we have the ability to do that. Sometimes people have an outgoing personality and they have the ability to talk to people. They have the ability to talk to people one-on-one. And sometimes we don't feel like we can do that. Sometimes those things may discourage us. They may make us feel ordinary. But the way that we view ourselves, the way that the world may view us, isn't the way that God views us. See, we may think that we're just ordinary Christians, that there's nothing special about us, there's nothing that we can do for Christ, but that's just not the case. This morning, we're going to meet some ordinary Christians, people who are ordinary in their personal lives, people who the world probably viewed as just regular people, but we're going to see that they do extraordinary things for God. Acts chapter 18 is where we are. We're going to read the first three verses there. He says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and went to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to depart from Rome. And he came to them. So because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked. For by occupation, they were tent makers. Now, in Acts chapter 18, Paul is on his second missionary journey. And as he makes his way on that journey, he comes to Corinth. And there he meets a couple, Aquila and Priscilla. And Aquila and Priscilla are just ordinary people. They're working an ordinary job. They're just working class people. They're tent makers. It's actually because of that job that they meet Paul. Because Paul also works the same trade as they do. It's because of their job that they have this opportunity. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes our jobs make us feel ordinary. You know, Al always jokes that he and I pile up rocks for a living. And, you know, when you work in construction, sometimes people look down on you and they just think, ah, there's nothing special about that person. And maybe you work a job where you feel like that. Maybe you work a job where you feel like people might look down on you as the world views it. But there's nothing ordinary about working. See, as we go through Scripture, we see that over and over and over again. We see farmers and fishermen. We see tax collectors and tent makers working a job, but also doing extraordinary things for God. No matter what your job is, there's pride to be had in having that job, in having the ability to work, to support yourself, to support your family. And that's what God wants for us. And that job will afford us opportunities just like it afforded these ordinary people this extraordinary opportunity when they met Paul. Now, Paul's on his first or second missionary journey here when he comes to Corinth. This is about A.D. 50 when he meets these two people. As we go on further down into Acts chapter 18, just stay on the same page there in Acts chapter 18, and we're going to go down to verse 18. Now, in verse 11, we learn that Paul stays in Corinth for 18 months. He's there for a year and a half, and he stays with Aquila and Priscilla. And then in verse 18, something significant happens because Paul leaves Corinth. He continues on this journey. But verse 18, we learn that he takes Aquila and Priscilla with him. Verse 18 there, Acts 18, 18, says, so Paul still remained a good while. Then he took leave of the brethren and sailed to Syria. And Priscilla and Aquila were with him. He had his hair cut off at Cenchrea, for he had taken a vow. He came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they had asked him to stay a longer time with them, he did not consent, but took leave of them, saying, I must by all means keep this coming feast in Jerusalem, but I will return again to you, God willing. And he sailed from Ephesus. And so we have these ordinary people who make this extraordinary example, or have set this example to Paul. Over this 18 months that he's been with them, he's seen something in them. See, as he travels to Ephesus and he takes them with him, he gets there and he's going to leave. They want him to stay, but he's continuing on. He's finishing that journey. He's headed back to Jerusalem. But he has confidence in them. These ordinary people, they don't have to stay in Paul. In fact, it shows great confidence in their ability. In the fact that Paul does it. Paul comes back, and we're going to get to that. Paul comes back and sees them again. But their abilities aren't diminished because they're ordinary people. They have abilities that we all have. And so let's continue a couple of verses more. Go on down in your Bible, three more verses there, to Acts 18 and verse 24. You see, Paul has left, and he's gone back to Jerusalem. And Aquila and Priscilla are still there. They're still there in Ephesus, and things are happening there. There's people coming in. There's Christians there. There's teachers and preachers coming in, and we meet one of those men. His name is Apollos. Verse 24 there says, now a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man has been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things of the Lord, though he knew only the baptism of John.
So he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Aquila and Priscilla heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. Now let's stop right there for just a moment. And let's see what these ordinary people do. And see, what we have here is we have this huge contrast in Christians. We have Apollos, who's described as this eloquent man, this man who had the ability to get up and speak boldly. This man that is mighty in Scripture. And then we have our ordinary Christians. Nothing is ever said about Aquila and Priscilla being able to get up and speak boldly. Nothing is ever said that they're eloquent in speech. Nothing is ever said that they're mighty in Scripture, though I think we can assume that they are. But what we have here is ordinary Christians listening to a man teach. And when these ordinary Christians realize that that man is teaching error, they take action. Now, having an eloquent speaker is not something that you have this morning, but it's something that you do see from time to time, right? That's not something that only Aquila and Priscilla observed. We still have that today. We still have men that have abilities to get up and to speak before a large crowd. We have people who are willing to get up and teach in a Bible class. Maybe we don't take that role upon ourselves, but that doesn't mean we don't have a role. See, as ordinary Christians, Aquila and Priscilla, heard a man teach error. And they went and they spoke to him about it. And that's not the way we do things today, right? Today, if we hear somebody speak error, or if we see someone do something that we don't like, we don't always go talk to that person, right? We just talk about that person. We talk to everyone but that person. Maybe we talk to all of our friends about what so-and-so said. I can't believe that so-and-so said that. Or maybe we get on social media and we talk about, oh, I disagree with this person so much. I can't believe that they feel this way. Aquila and Phil said, hey, Apollos, talk to me when everybody's gone. Let's discuss something here. Something you're teaching is error that I disagree with, and I'd like to talk to you about it. And that can be so encouraging as someone who preaches, as someone who teaches. It can be so encouraging to have someone come up to you and talk to you about something that you said. Lots of times when preachers get up, they say something to the effect of, you know, if I say anything that's wrong, you would be my friend. To come to me. And that is really the way men feel in that instance. Because there is nothing that you worry about as you stand before a group of people or as you stand before a Bible class. There's nothing you worry about more than saying something wrong, than leading people in error. These ordinary Christians do something extraordinary to spreading the word of God's kingdom. And we see that as we continue on there in Acts chapter 18. Let's read those next few verses, 27 and 28. We're going to see the reaction that we get from Apollos. It says there, and when he, that's Apollos, desired to cross to Achaia, the brethren from exhorting the disciples to receive him. And when he arrived, he greatly helped those who had believed through grace, for he vigorously refuted the Jews publicly, showing from the Scriptures that Jesus is Christ. Apollos was an eloquent man, this man that could get up and speak boldly. And he continued in that work make significant or to have a significant effect on other people. He was able to do that because of ordinary Christians who were willing to talk to him just one-on-one. And we can do that today. We can be those people that are willing to talk to someone. There's nothing more encouraging to me and other preachers and teachers to say the same thing than when after you spoke, you have someone come up to you after the service and say, you know, you mentioned this verse. And every time I read that verse, I think of this. I remember when Brother So-and-So preached a sermon 20 years ago, and he said he made this point about that verse. And I think about it every time I read it. Or I remember when I was in a Bible class one time, Sister So-and-So, she made this point, and it always helps me every time I read that verse to remember that point. You maybe next time when you speak and you use that verse, you can make that same point. It might help people better understand it. It might help people more easily understand the point you're trying to make. There's nothing that's more helpful than people doing that for you one-on-one. And we can all do that as ordinary Christians. Now we're going to skip ahead here a few years. Paul completes his second missionary journey, and then he begins his third missionary journey. And as he's traveling back, he comes back to Ephesus. This was, he left them in about AD 52. He's back in about AD 54. And while he's back in Ephesus, he writes a letter to the church in Corinth. He writes a letter back to the Corinthians. And of course, that's where Aquila and Priscilla had met Paul, remember, in Acts chapter 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19 there. This is the end of the letter. His greetings that are in with his farewell there. 1 Corinthians 16 and 19, he says, the churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord. Remember them? They were there just a few years ago with you. They were there for 18 months with me. They're here in Ephesus now with the church that is in their house. I want to think about ordinary Christians like you and me. Just regular people. And what we see over and over again as we study about Aquila and Priscilla is that no matter what they're doing in their life, no matter what hardships they face, they are putting God first. And we see that here. As they've remained in Ephesus for several years now, while Paul has left them, and they're serving brethren. They're serving brethren so much that the church is meeting at their house. But don't forget, they're tent makers. Now, imagine that. You worry about having people over to your house? Worry, you know, my house isn't nice. My house isn't big enough. I don't really have room for people. Aquila and Priscilla probably live in a tent. The church is meeting there with them at their house. As ordinary Christians, we can support our brethren. We can have people to our homes. Maybe not right now. But at some point, we can have people to our homes to enjoy the company of other brothers and sisters in Christ. We can do that. There's lots of great memories that come when you get together with fellow Christians and enjoy time together. But then the next time we see Aquila and Priscilla, it's several years later, about AD 57. Paul is still on that third missionary journey, and now he's traveled around from Ephesus, and he's in Corinth 4 years later. He's in Corinth, and now he's writing to Rome. We're going to see something significant has happened with Aquila and Priscilla. AD 57, we see in Romans chapter 16, there again Paul is writing his greetings as he finishes the letter. Verses 3 through 5 there, Romans chapter 16, says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life. to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And 4 years later, Aquila and Priscilla are back in Rome. Something significant had happened when we met them in Acts chapter 18. It said there that they had come to Corinth. They had been forced out of Rome. And that was because of Claudius. Historians from that time tell us that there was a lot of infighting amongst the Jews, just bickering back and forth. So Claudius finally said, you know what? All of y'all, get out of here. In AD 57, Claudius died. And so that mandate that he had put out, that law that he had put out to these Jews, it ends. Aquila and Priscilla travel back to Rome. But there's something significant that we see there that hasn't stopped these ordinary Christians from working. No, when Paul writes to them there in Rome, he says, greet them. And the church that's in their house, they're still working for God. In everything that they do, they're putting God first. We see that, again, the last time they're mentioned is about 10 years later. Just their names are mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 19. There it is. Paul concludes that letter. Probably, most think it's the last letter that we have that Paul wrote. He writes it from a Roman prison. About 10 years after he writes the letter to the Romans. And he says there simply, greet Prisca and Aquila. Now, we know where Timothy is. Timothy, when Paul writes to him, is in Ephesus. And so 10 years after Paul writes that letter to the Romans, when he writes Timothy in Ephesus, Aquila and Priscilla are back there. They're back there with that young preacher, helping him, serving God at home. And that's the real overwhelming point that we see. When we go back there to Romans chapter 6, or chapter 16, I'm sorry. There, Paul, he says, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. And that's what we see about these people. These ordinary people. We know that they're tent makers, right? We know that when they were originally in Rome, they probably had a shop of their own. They had this business that they're working. And then they're forced out of Rome. They go to Corinth. They set up shop again. And they're working there. That's how Paul meets them, right? And then they leave. They go to Ephesus with Paul. They close down shop and then they set up shop. And then they leave Ephesus and they go back to Rome. And they close down shop and they open shop again. And then they go to help Timothy back in Ephesus. And they close down shop and they open up shop again. These ordinary Christians are busy, are you? You have a lot going on in your life? Does that hinder you? Do you think sometimes, you know, I don't have time to do it. We just got so much to go from here to here to here. We've got so much going on in my life that, spiritual things really need to take, they kind of take a back burner. Like we put them on the back burner and kind of forget about them sometimes, right? Well, they still have a lot going on in their life. These ordinary Christians had a lot going on, and it didn't stop them. You see, in everything that they're doing, they're putting God first. That's what God wants for us. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, three verses, it's two or eight verses, verses 10 through 12. When he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints, to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all his pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what God wants for us. Us ordinary people, ordinary Christians, God wants us to put him first. He wants us to serve him no matter what it is we're doing in life, no matter what comes up in our life, no matter what the situation is, God wants us to put him first. If we do that, he will be glorified because of the life that we live. It doesn't matter how the world views. It doesn't matter what your job is, or what your house is like, or what kind of car you drive, or how much money you make. It doesn't matter what the world thinks of you. God knows that there can be glory for him in the life that you live. And that's what we want. We want to serve Christ in everything we do, in every aspect of our life. If you're here this morning and you are not a Christian, you haven't put Christ on in baptism. This morning, things have been prepared. You can take this opportunity. You can enter the water for baptism. Have your sins washed away. Begin a new walk with Christ. If you are a Christian and you have sin in your life that you need to make correction, now is an opportunity that you can do that. We would invite you to come while we stand in the moment.